The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Good morning, church. If you are visiting or if you haven't become aware, we are in the mix of a series at the moment entitled Can of Worms. Basically, we open up particular topics that society is confronted with, which the church is confronted with, which, to be honest, are quite difficult things to talk about. And so our three topics this morning are this. The first one is abortion, very sensitive topic. We want to wrestle with that together. Prostitution, and connected to that, human trafficking. We want to explore these topics and a Christ-centered response to these global issues that we face here in Australia. Now, I want to say before I share on this, I want to acknowledge that these issues may be closer to home for some of us than others. I also want to say that as we wrestle with this, very important to declare that the God we serve is a God of mercy. It's a God of grace and love and forgiveness. And I believe it's important just to declare that this morning, no matter what we may have done in our past, there's nothing that can separate us from the love that is in Jesus. Amen. At South Perth, we want to model a grace-filled community. There's no room for judgment here on these issues or on anything for that matter, and to live out the heart of God who embraces all people. So that's that on one hand. And on the other, as Christ followers, we need to take a sobering look at God's word and the realities that confront our world and our society today. I need to alert you to the fact that I will share some statistical data this morning that may shock you, and also some media clips that you may find confronting and provocative and disturbing, but we want to be able to paint a real and honest picture about these issues. So on that note, I think we should pray. Let's pray together. Father, we just commit the next few moments of our time together. As we share in this way, Lord, we thank you that you are the God of grace. Lord, you embrace people wherever they are at. And Lord, as we unpack these topics today, Lord, I believe you would call us on to do what we can to embrace people who may be caught up in these situations, these issues, but to embrace people and to be able to make a real difference in this world. So Lord, lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, I do want to be sensitive to the issue of abortion, particularly because there may be some of us here this morning, for whatever reason, in a variety of ways, have been impacted by that. Women who have had abortions, men who have been involved in this act, parents and grandparents alike. We may know of people who have had an abortion and to be sensitive to that, but particularly to be sensitive to women this morning, as they are usually the ones who bear the decision-making and the processes sometimes that has brought guilt and pain and regret in the decisions they've made. I want to say, if this is an issue for you, if this still is an issue for you, if you've been affected by abortion in whatever way and you need to seek restoration and forgiveness, then I believe God today very much wants to speak to you about that. I believe he wants to impart his grace to you and to see you set free. I want to say, and as I've spoken with the team in this week, I've seen people set free as a result of this issue. My encouragement for all of us today is to sit with the realities this morning and to really submit to what God says. So let's talk about abortion. For our purposes today, abortion is defined as the external intervention into the reproductive process with a view to terminating a pregnancy. It is a global issue that is prevalent throughout most countries of the world. Now, since abortion became legalized in the US in about the 1970s, it is said that they could only abort in the first trimester. That now has evolved to now abortions that include up until the ninth month. Now, on a website, Not Born Yet, it's just a beautiful kingdom website committed to women and children. They reveal some statistics about the current issue in Australia. Listen to this. It's estimated that 80,000 children are aborted each year through surgical means. Now, that does not include the morning after pill. That does not include some of the stats in all of the states, because no specific records are kept in states. 97% of abortions are due to psychosocial reasons, including late term after 20 weeks. 70% of women say they felt they had no alternative to abortion. 32% are married or in a de facto relationship, have had an abortion. It is one of the most divisive issues that we face in our society, and yet most Australians believe that there are far too many abortions, and they believe that women should have the opportunity for counselling and support. Indeed, this issue has come up in our very own Parliament in Australia. Particularly, MPs right now will be debating legislation, they will be debating bills and those sort of things. And this next bit may be a little bit shocking, but it is in our recent history. In 2007, Premier John Brumby, he announced that he believed the Victorian abortion laws were out of step with community sentiment. And that set him on a course with his party to liberalise the abortion law. But then in 2008, there was a reform that was brought in and said that that abortion could now be performed by a medical practitioner up to 24 weeks without any reference to any criteria. Abortions after 24 weeks and up until the moment of birth can be performed after confirmation by any two medical practitioners. And it was considered that those provisions have created an environment of abortion on request. Two reports were released as a result in 2010, revealed there were 345 late-term abortions or babies that were killed in 2007, and that 54 of them were still alive after the procedure. Another report released in June 12 reveals that a total of 410 post-20-week abortions were committed or were done. It was considered children at this stage of gestation are certainly capable of surviving outside of the womb. Friends and people, this is the unfortunate and sobering reality that we face in Australia today. This is our society. And the question remains, what does God want us to do? See, one of the main issues that surrounds abortion is the argument of, when does life begin? When does the fertilised egg develop personhood? See, the question is the fetus a blob of tissue, or is it the real development of a real human being? That is the question in some cases. And I believe the Bible very clearly reveals that life begins at day zip. And although I'm not a doctor, medical science also proves the development of life and personhood. You know, Genesis 1 verse 27 says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Each person has the intrinsic stamp of God upon them. Furthermore, Psalm 139 says and declares in the context of praise and worship, it says that it is the God himself that forms every child. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex, and your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, that's very interesting. The psalmist declares that God saw him before he was birthed. The scriptures declare that God is active in the development of every stage of the unborn child. Furthermore, it cannot be underestimated or overstated that God places the highest value on the unborn child. He places the highest value on human life itself. Psalm 127 declares that children are from God. They are a gift from the Lord, the psalmist says. They are a reward from him. God also plans the destiny and future of every child. It says, in speaking of Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I was formed formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. The coming of Jesus, he said, I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Basically, when you read into the text, he fulfilled these scriptures and he endorsed them and he embraced them. God truly values the life of the unborn. You know, when God issued the sixth commandment, do not murder, he issued it to the community. The taking of human life, including abortion, is a breaking of the sixth commandment and has become a widespread practice under government legislation. You know, scripture teaches, as I said, that God is actively involved in the development of human life. And I believe, as I said before, medical science proves this point as well. It's fascinating. It's remarkable. I've had this verified by a doctor this week. But just to paint a picture of what happens in the first 4 weeks of conception, wonderful. The heart of the unborn child begins to beat. The eyes are formed, the brain, the spinal cord, and muscles along the spinal cord, as well as the nervous system is laid. By day 30, blood flows in the veins of the unborn, becoming separate from the mother's blood supply. Truly remarkable. Shortly after, the mouth, the ears, which, by the way, the ears begin to start looking like the family members, which is not always helpful. But they start to take shape. The mouth, the skeleton, forming and the brain coordinating the movement of the muscles and organs. By day 43, they believe brain waves can be recorded. I could go on, but we all know what happens next. Amazing. We need to see the one-day-year-old fetus, the one-week-old baby, and the nine-month-old baby the same way. We need to see them as a person, as a human being that God is involved in forming and creating. Now, the question is, for us as Christ followers, what can we do about this issue? As Christians, we want to be known for what we stand for, not what we stand against. We want to stand for life. And to be able to stand is important. But I'm not advocating that you might go on a march somewhere, but you know what? If Jesus leads you to do that, then you go ahead and do it peacefully. You do it lovingly in the name of Jesus. I know people who set up those things. But also, there are possibilities if, MPs want to know what the people think about this issue. And as a church, we need to put our voice out there in a loving way. And writing to your MP on these sort of matters about legislation is very effective. But also the mother of the unborn child, they need to be embraced. You know, there are many stories of where both women and men feel supported. When they feel embraced, when they have a surprise pregnancy, most of them go on with it. It's amazing. I want to say I personally have had to go through this issue of abortion myself. In a public setting like this, I'm unable to go into details of what that is to protect certain people. But I can say this with absolute experience and measure that I know the pressure it is for a young woman and a young man when they find out they have a surprise pregnancy. I understand the pressure. It is such a pressured moment for them. And when they simply feel supported, it makes a world of difference. Embrace those people. I want to say, although the situation in Australia is a little bit grim, God is at work in this area. I believe he wants to bring his kingdom to come and to bear on this situation. And I want to just read from this article that I read a little bit earlier on some of those confronting stats. It said, public sentiment is moving away from abortion as the answer to unexpected and initially unwanted pregnancies or crisis pregnancies, as they're called. Financial support, medical treatment, accommodation and care are now commonly being identified as better solutions. Now that is a kingdom thing that is happening in our society now. We need to pray that sort of thing in. And we can and we are making a loving difference in this society with this issue. We have to believe that if God initiates and if he is the orchestrator of human life, that he has a plan in place to seeing these issues come to bear in a kingdom and godly, Christ-centered way. I have no doubt that Christ commissions us to embrace and to protect the most vulnerable people in our world, and certainly the unborn child is the most innocent and the most vulnerable person there is. Now, on your notes, you will see that there is a website there, and I would encourage you. Actually, there's quite a few websites I've listed for you, but one of those websites is Not Born Yet, and it's a great website just to become up to speed on this matter. I'd encourage you to look up that website this week, but there's a featured video on this website, and we'll see if we can get it going, that just is a beautiful video about what life is about, just as we transition from abortion into our next topic. That's okay, Jeremy. Thanks anyway. We did have trouble this morning. Basically, the picture or the video is just about, it's just titled Feet, and it's just all looking at video clips of feet, human feet, which then transitions into the womb and the making of the child. It's a beautiful thing. You can see it from the website this week. But from the unborn child to children generally, to all people, it is our job, I believe, as Christ followers, to protect the most vulnerable. Do what you can and what God leads you to do in this issue. As people travel through life, they may find themselves caught in lifestyles that are detrimental to their well-being. I want to move on. I want us just to breathe a little about, as we look at one such lifestyle in prostitution that is having devastating effects on people. These are the cold hard facts about prostitution. Pornography is a $96 billion per year industry. In some countries, it's estimated that 70% of the population of men purchase sex. Up to 96% of women in prostitution say they want to escape, but they feel they cannot. And the average age of entry into commercial sex slavery in the United States is 13 years old. Now, I want to tackle that subject under human trafficking, but we'll stay on the subject of prostitution at the moment. Now, they are fairly sobering and alarming stats, to say the least. In Australia, it's prevalent. Although the stats in Australia are hard to come by, it is right under our noses here to speak. I was out riding yesterday. As we got back, my friend was showing me his new iPhone 5. And he said, you can just say anything into this phone and it will tell you straight away where the closest things are. So one of the guys remarked and joked, oh, why don't you just say brothels? So they did. And within 3 or 4 seconds, 3 or 4 places came up to our GPS position, as close as it was. Now, I don't believe in the coincidence of those things, since we're speaking about this today, but this, we have to be aware that brothels and parlours and little houses are in operation in every state in Australia and possibly in some neighbourhoods here in Perth. Now, granted, there are male prostitutes in Australia. Primarily, though, it is men purchasing sex, and not just single men, but married men as well are utilising this service, for want of a better phrase. So you add to that the fact that this issue can devastate families and children. People working in prostitution are our daughters, and in some cases, sons of parents and grandparents. You add to this the spread of STDs that are on the increase as a result. You add to this the devastation of a person's health, both emotionally and mentally, not just for women, but for men. I remember I had a friend many, many years ago, before I came to Jesus, and his goal in life was to see how many women he could sleep with. And he said he got to 54, and this was his exact words. I'll never forget him. He says, I've had many women, he said, but I feel incredibly lonely, were his exact words. It devastates a person's health. Add to this the issue about violence and the exploitation of people, which we'll cover under human trafficking. This is a major issue in our society and globally. And most, if not all, women and children are the ones that Christ commissions us to embrace and protect. Again, it's an issue we need to promote life for and not be against. But we have to say categorically that the Bible is clearly against any forms and all forms of prostitution. The Old Testament speaks of both sacred and common prostitutes of both sexes. But on the screen, you'll see just a whole heap of scriptures from the Bible. I love the fact that the Bible doesn't try to hide this issue. It just puts it there in plain view for people to see. We're just going to go through a few of these. You'll see Tamar was a harlot and a cult prostitute. But this sense of even Rahab became noted for her faith, even though she was a prostitute. It also became an ancestress of Christ. The two mothers who claimed the baby before Solomon were prostitutes. The interesting phrase in the Old Testament, which is called dog, used to be called, refer to a male prostitute. It was across the land in Rehoboam's time, but then people came in, like Jehoshaphat and Josiah, to attempt to rid the land and restore. There was sacred prostitution, many scriptures there that allude to this. In fact, Hosea, who was commanded to marry Gomer, who was a harlot, and this was to be a prophetic thing to illustrate Israel's infidelity. It's interesting, the scriptures often use the imagery of prostitution and harlotry to depict the evil of idolatry and apostasy. Let's flick over to the New Testament. We know the problem in Corinth. The Corinthian believers were surrounded by sacred prostitution in that day by the goddess Aphrodite. It was the goddess of Corinth, and she was considered to be the patroness of prostitutes, and she had a temple of more than 1,000. And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul warns the Corinthians against immorality. No doubt Paul had this in mind when he was penning this letter. And then he goes on to write that it was condemned as defiling our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there's a scripture from Revelation calling people to repent from such practices. But perhaps it is the coming of Jesus, who is the fulfillment of Old Testament, who led the church in writing the New Testament. He stated to the religious elite of the time that it is the tax collectors and the prostitutes that were the ones that were changing their ways. He said prostitutes were among those who repented at the preaching of John the Baptist. You know, when Jesus came, people just felt embraced. They felt accepted, even though their lifestyle was considered by society to be unacceptable. As Christ followers, it's obvious we are not to engage in prostitution. We are called to pray for this issue in the name of Jesus. We're called to act in Christ-like love, but we're also called in Christ-led actions that result in freedom. We are to embrace those caught up in prostitution, including those who purchase sex and those who supply it. I want to say a special way we can become involved in action is in the legislative process. Again, MPs are debating this bill. They are saying, what is the solution? What can we do, especially here in our state level? Here in Western Australia, they are asking, what can we do? At the moment, they are saying, we will just follow what the eastern states have done, where they will legalise brothels, but they are failing. It's not decreasing, it's growing in the eastern states. And there was an article published last month by the Australian Christian Lobby. They asked the Liberal government, honour your political election so that you can just find out and investigate. That's all that we want you to do, is to investigate what is called the Nordic model of policy. The Nordic model is based on what is happening in Sweden, and they are seeing dramatic changes and dramatic shifts in this issue. In Sweden, the purchase of sex is banned, it is illegal, and the women involved in prostitution are encouraged to leave the industry. This is the policy that has been developed. It is a model that is successfully limiting the despicable practice of human trafficking in Sweden, and it's seeing a drop in women entering prostitution. Other countries are taking up this legislation now, like Norway, like Ireland, South Korea, and they are seeing some amazing effects and results. Australian policy within our nation doesn't come close to this. It's hard to see a reduction achieved in WA by just following the eastern states. And one of the most effective ways we can deal and act in a Christ-like way is to talk with our MP. Now, you can do that by meeting with them or emailing them. There's lots of different means. Sometimes your letter or your email might actually represent 100 votes. That's how they see it. But more than that, this is not just changing the yard marker about some legislation. This is about protection of the most innocent and the most vulnerable. It is Jesus himself who commissions us to embrace, to protect the most innocent and the most vulnerable people in our world. And certainly Jesus wants us to protect children and women. I want to say there are kingdom things happening in this issue. We need to pray them in. Obviously, connected to prostitution is human trafficking. I've alerted you to that. And last year, we had the terrific privilege to be confronted with a brilliant film known as the Nefarious Documentary. And I want to say, when you just see the rawness of the issue of human trafficking, you just begin to weep, you begin to pray, you begin to ask God to do something, because it is a terrible blight on humanity. And it's amazing. The news, I want to say, is not all bad in this issue, because there are a heap of people being rescued as we speak, rescued out of this industry. The Nefarious film, I'm going to encourage you, we're going to get it here so you can borrow the DVD. But women who have been caught up in this are testifying to the saving grace of Jesus in their lives. God is at work. He's doing something about this issue, but he wants us to stand in the gap for these people. Now, I want to play the trailer for you now, because perhaps you are not sure what the Nefarious Documentary is. But I need to warn you that some of the images are disturbing. Some of them are provocative, and they may offend some viewers. And I encourage you, you make the choice if you want to watch it, or you want to look away, or if you need to leave for just a moment. But this is from the Nefarious Documentary, the trailer. There's hope. God is at work. And I believe today and this week God is calling us to act. Human trafficking is evil. And God wants us to do something, and I believe he's crying out for justice on behalf of the people. We know this because human trafficking or slavery is as old as the Bible itself. Been around since time began. The Israelites were forced into labor. They cried out, God moved. Israelites, throughout their history, before and after the exile, they were subject to the forms of slavery. And you see God move again and again to see people set free. It was considered that under Roman law, a slave is without rights. It is personal property to be used and disposed of in whatever way the owner wishes. Greek culture saw people as second class, not even as second class citizens, but as a commodity. And Paul especially talks about this relationship between masters and slaves. It is the Jewish people and the church in the New Testament and the church today that's making a difference in this area. And it's so counter to the treatment of slavery, emphasizing the slave's humanity. You know, we had a wonderful film a number of years ago entitled Amazing Grace about William Wilberforce. He was an amazing man. He was amazing because he chose to get on the same level as humanity and saw and experienced their sufferings. He was quoted as saying, "If to be feeling alive to the sufferings of my fellow creatures is to be a fanatic, then I am one of the most incurable fanatics ever permitted to be at large." In other words, when you sense the heartbeat of God, when you experience the sufferings of humanity in such an undignified way, you become desperately committed to seeing and seeking their freedom. It's not just prostitution, it's forced labor and debt bondage as well. And since the mighty work of Wilberforce himself, slavery has now doubled to now be up to about 27 million people globally. The facts are this. Human trafficking occurs in 161 out of 192 countries. Human trafficking is a $32 billion a year industry. A child is trafficked every 30 seconds. By the end of this message this morning, 60 children would have been trafficked. And if you think it happens just overseas, then you would be wrong. It happens right here in Australia as well. It's taking place. I can show you articles of police raids. I can show you other information that would back that up. In fact, this time last year, the Sydney Morning Herald wrote on a story where the police uncovered a human trafficking syndicate. And one of the federal ministers, and Kate Ellis at the time, she was quoted as saying this. She admitted trafficking was a crime that goes unreported, undetected far too often in Australia. We don't know whether the problem is growing or we are just becoming more effective in finding victims, but we do know we are coming across more and more women that are being trafficked into the sex industry. The majority of the Australian population would be shocked if they knew human trafficking was occurring, not just in our nation, but often in our neighbourhoods. This is one of those issues that Australians don't like to think about, but it's really important that we open our eyes. What can we do? We can start praying. We can start praying for the police. We can start praying that this hideous evil will be exposed for what it is. What can we do about forced labour and debt bondage around the world? We can make a difference right here in Australia. I remember a few years ago, our worship teams, we were led to go through a time of exploring the worship and justice theme. We just came to a place where we can't worship God and do nothing. We have to worship God and act justly. And we had that sense from the prophets as well. And we were just asking the Lord what we can do. And we became aware of a number of children who were basically caught up in human trafficking through the picking of cocoa beans to make chocolate through the world. And there's this great website, World Vision website, called Don't Trade Lives. And often children as young as 8 in places like Ghana and the Ivory Coast were working 10-hour days with all the profits going to their relatives and to the traffickers and to the growers. Now, since Cadbury sourced its beans from this region, the Don't Trade Lives initiative, they decided to campaign this corporate giant to do something about it. Now, at first, they said, no, it's okay, we don't need to worry about that, we're okay. We're not going to explore that or investigate it, and they moved very slowly. For our worship teams here at South Perth, including the ones you saw on the stage today, we took a stand. We said, look, let's just write a simple email, which we could do through the World Vision website. It took 1 to 2 minutes to complete. 25,000 Australians did it also, the same thing, and it became such a power, such a thing that Cadbury could not ignore it. In fact, they were quoted as saying that, or not quoted, but they came out and made important steps to providing fair price trading and fair trade announcements in relation to this issue. Tim Costello said, fair cocoa pricing is the difference between children wielding a machete in the cocoa fields and a pencil in the classroom. It's amazing what he said. And he said, tens of thousands of cocoa farmers and their children will benefit from the Cadbury Fair Trade announcement. It was so encouraging to see that. It was so encouraging because we decided to do something in the form of a simple email and prayer and see God break through. You know, our actions that we do in Jesus' name, they actually make a difference to the corporate giants of this world when we come together. They make a difference to the governments of this world. It makes a difference to the human traffickers of this world, and God is commissioning us to embrace and to protect the most vulnerable, the most innocent people in our world. So the question today is, what will your response be to these issues? I understand that there's some confronting stuff that's been spoken about today, but this is a time for mobilization. Not a time to sit back and to think about it. I'm going to encourage us to think about what you can do as a part of this. This is a call to action this week. I'm going to encourage you to think about one thing that you might just write down in a moment that you will choose to read up on, that you will choose to explore, and then act upon. Also, want to say as a part of our C2C mission, we are obviously committed to church planting and partnerships of that nature, but we are also committed to the poor and to the oppressed, and we're really seeking, hey, what can we do? Are there people here who want to actually get more involved in this issue? And if that is you, come and see me. We're looking at perhaps what a task force could do to see people set free in this area. All right, we have to act. I'm going to encourage us to pray right now and just come before the Lord and then we'll head into communion together. And just as you are coming before the Lord, this is between you and Him now. I just want to encourage you that if these issues have struck a chord with you, that you would just bring that before Him. If you have struggled in any way with these issues, that you would also bring that before Him. These next few moments, be prepared for God to lead you to write down one, two, maybe more things that He wants you to do as a result. Father, we are just so thankful that we have been set free by Your amazing grace, Your amazing love. We thank You for what Jesus has done on the cross to set people free. And so, Lord, this morning I have that song on my heart, the song of Hosanna, where it declares, Lord, break my heart for the things that break Yours. Everything I am for Your kingdom cause. And Lord, we just pray today that You would help us to unpack these things individually and in community. But Lord, help us and lead us in what we can do to make a difference. Thank You that You are making a difference. Thank You that Your kingdom is coming to reign in these areas. We want to see it come in an increasing way. But lead us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.